Translation. And this human form of life, a man and a woman unite for sensual pleasure of sex. But by actual experience, we have observed that none of them are happy. From experience. You have to get the experience. None of them are happy. Therefore, seeing the contrary results, I have stopped taking part in materialistic activities. You can see all the brahmacharis are all right behind this one. And brahmacharinis, of course. Well, yes, of course. Sometimes our kids as well, they like, you know, what is it with these guys? They're fighting all the time. Forget all this nonsense. They become the mediators of the parents' quarrels. Speaking from experience, I've observed these things. So, purport by Srila Prabhupada. It's quite a long purport. So perhaps I may ask you to remind me of some things covered in it when I've finished reading it, isn't it? Sutta Prabhu. As stated by Prahlad Maharaj, Yan maitunadi grihamedi sukam hitucham. Man and woman both seek sexual enjoyment. And when they are united by ritualistic ceremony of marriage, they are happy for some time. But finally, there is dissension. And thus, there are so many cases of separation and divorce. Although every man and woman is actually eager to enjoy life through sexual unity, the result is disunity and distress. Marriage is recommended to give men and women a concession for restricted sex life, which is also recommended in Bhagavad Gita. By the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Dharma viruddha bhuteshu kamosmi. Sex life not against the religious, against the principles of religion is Krishna. Every living entity is always eager to enjoy sex life because materialistic life consists of eating, sleeping, sex, and fear. In animal life, eating, sleeping, sexual enjoyment, and fear cannot be regulated. But for human society, the plan is that although men, like animals, must be allowed to eat, sleep, enjoy sex, and take protection from fear, they must be regulated. The Vedic plan for eating recommends that one take yajna shishta, or prasad, food offered to Krishna. Yajna shishta shino shanto sarva kilvasai. The devotees of the Lord are released from all kinds of sins because they eat food that is offered first for sacrifice. Bhagavad Gita, chapter 3, verse 13. In material life, one commits sinful activities, especially in eating. And because of sinful activities, one is condemned by nature's law to accept another body, which is imposed as punishment. Sex and eating are essential, and therefore they are offered to human society under Vedic restrictions, so that according to Vedic injunctions, people may eat, sleep, enjoy sex, be protected from fearful life, and gradually be elevated and liberated from the punishment of material existence. Thus, the Vedic injunctions for marriage offer a concession to human society. The idea being that a man and woman united in a ritualistic marriage ceremony should help one another advance in spiritual life. Unfortunately, especially in this age, men and women unite for unrestricted sensual enjoyment. Thus, they are victimized, being obliged to take rebirth in the form of animals to fulfill their animalistic propensities. The Vedic injunctions therefore warn, Nayam deha deha bhajamri loke vidbhujamye. One should not enjoy sex life like hogs and eat everything even to the limit of stool. A human being should eat prasad offered to the deity and should enjoy sex life according to the Vedic injunctions. He should engage himself in the business of Krishna consciousness. He should save himself from a fearful condition of material existence, and he should sleep only to recover from fatigue due to working hard. The learned Brahmana said that since everything is misused by fruitive workers, he had retired from all fruitive activities. Tatrapi dam patitam cha sukayan yapanutaye karmani kurvatam dristva nivritosmi viparyayam. In this human form of life, a man and woman unite for sensual pleasure of sex, but by actual experience, we have observed that none of them are happy. Therefore, seeing the contrary results, I have stopped taking part in materialistic activities. Very sobering verse and purport. Perhaps you can remind me of some of the salient points that were covered or mentioned within the purport. Even just randomly, they don't have to be in order. Prayojan Prabhu. Your experience of Vedic life. Where was it you grew up? East London. No, you're from Cornwall. They're Isle of Wight. Very civilized. In marriage. So, the point here from the purport was? Towards self-realization is as opposed to materialistic life. Which means, in this case, where two people come together for sense enjoyment, to fulfill their desires with the help of each other. Isn't it, as the Beatles sang, I get by with a little help from my friends. So but for sensual purposes. Something else? Yes, Prabhu. Yeah, well, more than that, what made him desire to just retire was seeing, and it's mentioned here in a file, viparyayam, which meant, it's quite the opposite, isn't it? That word viparya is also a Gita, acronyms of the Bhagavad Gita, first chapter, when it states that Arjuna is all flustered. Roma harsas to die. He's not experiencing symptoms of ecstasy. He's experiencing tremendous symptoms of anxiety, which kind of have the same, you know, hair standing in it. And bow slipping from his hand. Nachashuknum yavashtatum brahmachiva chime mana. He explains that I'm completely bewildered entirely. And I'm seeing in this war itself quite the opposite from what we expect. This viparya word is used there also within that verse. That the very outcomes we're hopeful of, I'm seeing quite the opposite as the outcome. So the very hopeful couple enter into matrimony in love with each other for a life of endless happiness. But this wise retired gentleman, now, his idea of retirement is not quite what is aspired for by people in society today. Certainly not thinking of that myself either. Because his retirement, as you know from this verse, he's like a snake, this chap. And he's lying, isn't it? on the side of the road. Just, you know, and what comes his way, and otherwise, sometimes he's dressed, sometimes he's not dressed, he's just not particularly bothered for anything. He's completely indifferent to life. So indifferent to life, he's just lying there. He's not even standing, he's just lying in the road. Completely indifferent. There was always in Vrindavan, there was a, as you go in the Parikram Marg down towards the Krishna Balaram tree, you probably know this person. There's a person who just lies on the road there. I don't know, for the last 3 decades, I think he's been lying on the side of the road. And he doesn't speak any sense. He just, something's talking to himself, no, whatever. And, but he's always there, lying at the side of the road in his loincloth. Always. Even, it was a while ago I went the last time, but not that long ago. Because in 2001 I left there, so I know him quite. You go by him every day, you see him, you forget he's there. He's just part of your scenery. It's part of the environment. And then I went back years after, and I was just walking, and I thought, my Christ, he's still lying here, this person. And I used to think, you know, is he really a sadhu, or is he just completely puggled? Is he just, you know, mentally infirm, as we'd say? Or is he really a sadhu? So you always go by and just go, Hare Krishna, anyway. And hardly it's people's view or idea of retirement. People, we want to be comfortable in our retirement. Do all the things that we wanted to do that we couldn't do when we were working. Like, collect stamps. Maybe not. You know, just be free to do all those things that we couldn't do when we were so busy working. And therefore, we are very concerned for our retirement. Now the age is going up to 65. Minimum age of retirement. And because people are living too long, then we can't afford to maintain the retired people either. So the retirement pension is coming down. And so, but still, all these adverts come on television and all these posters that you see the happy old couple together, you know. And this is generally the sense of retirement. But here, this person's just he's resigned. He's retired. And what's driven him to retirement is seeing this Viparya. That these, perhaps Prabhupada uses the term Grihamedi. Yan maithunadi Grihamedi Sukham. This Viparya, entering into this thing for Grihamedi Sukham. Yan maithunadi. Maithun is generally the term used for sexual union, relationship, etc., etc. The relationship of love between the lover and the beloved kind of culminates in that. You know, it's the great, it's the expression that it finally concludes in. You know, like in all the other relationships or rasas, there's different ways of expressing the love. Like a mother will always maybe feel anxious that they feed their son and embrace their son or their daughter. And in various ways, you know, express love, communicate love. Dadati pratigrinati. These are priti lakshanas. The lakshanas of priti are there in all relationships. In the conjugal relationships, they become very intense and they take the form of sexuality, where ultimately the male and female may feel they've ultimately become one for a frustrated moment, perhaps. But then, here, as it states, viparyaya, nivritu smi viparyaya, nivriti asmi. I've taken to the path of renunciation, nivritu smi, because I'm seeing that the very thing they're all aspiring for in coming together in wedlock. It's feeding back, isn't it? That's coming, that in wedlock, viparyaya, the opposite in itself comes. And Prabhupada quotes that verse, yan maitunadi grihamedi sukham hi tucham. Tucham means insignificant. Tucham. Like we sing in the song, ara kobi nitai chander, karuna hoive. When will Nityananda Prabhu be graceful upon me? Ara kobe nitai chander, like the moon's cooling rays will just come on me. And the difference between the moon rays and the sun rays isn't the moon rays are cooling. Therefore, Krishna, isn't it? Rupa Goswami says, vidanoti, vididati. Krishna is compared to the moon because he relieves the burning heat of the sun. And also, he nourishes, like the, isn't it, the moon we say, it gives the rasa, ritura. Is that, the moon gives the ras, it gives, isn't it? Everybody's inspired by the moon. Now, Jesse J's inspired by the moon, dancing in the moonlight. How many songs? How many times are we going to hear that in the lyrics of songs, dancing in the moonlight? Anyway, the moon gives some kind of nourishment and felicity to the living entities. So Krishna is compared to the moon, Krishna Chandra. Because he's relieving the heat of material life for us, the misery, vidunoti and vididati, and he is inspiring our hearts with anand, pleasure. So, arakobe nitai chandir, Nityananda Prabhu, we're praying to the moon of Nityananda Prabhu. Kobe tuchahobe, no, not kobe. When will I attain the grace of Nityananda Prabhu? Basana, samsara basana mur, kobi tuchahobi. And this whole samsara of basan, my desire, my aspiration for material life, will become tuchahobi, insignificant. By grace, by the grace of Nityananda Prabhu, when will kobi tuchahobi, this aspiration I have for material life, become insignificant? Here in this verse, tucha, yan maitanadi grihamedi sukam hitucham. The grihamedi sukam, which is epitomized, this is where Prabhupada, you see here Prabhupada translates this, sukaya nyapanutaye. I mean, literally the verse is meaning that dampatinam chast, that happiness of the grihamedis. It doesn't say anything about maituna in the Sanskrit. It says it in the purport. It doesn't say it in the Sanskrit. It just says, for this, they come together for sukaya. So the dampatinam, the wife and the husband, they come together for sukaya, happiness. And he's seeing the contrary. And therefore he's resigned from it all. And they perform fruitive activities. And I'll come to that in 1 minute. So they're come together for sukaya. But Prabhupada's saying in the purport that they unite for what? Sex pleasure. The pleasure of sex, ultimately, that's where it culminates. Now we're talking about materialistic grihamedi. Where you just have to listen to the lyrics of contemporary pop music, and it's just all-pervading people's delusion about why they come together. You know, it's just, I have a teenage daughter. I tend to listen to a bit of contemporary music now and again. But every lyric, just switch on your, don't switch on your radio. But every lyric is like all these great aspirations of sensuality between male and female. And so that culminates in sexuality. That is, as I was saying, in every the pretty lakshana of all different relationships. When it comes to the conjugal relationship, when you express your love, you know, you end up, you children should come as a consequence. But it expresses itself in eroticism. That's the nature of that relationship. So the pretty lakshana is as such. However, so Prabhupada mentions here, drawing reference from yan maitunadi grihamedi sukham hitucham. Because in that verse, when it speaks about grihamedi sukham, the happiness that's aspired for. Now, the happiness that's aspired for in this case, yan maitunadi, sex life, etc. That's where it's being drawn from. Sex life, etc. Grihamedi sukham. The so-called happiness of the grihamedi, which includes sex and all the rest. So drawing from that, obviously, the fuller, enriched translation of the verse for our benefit, Prabhupada speaks about the pleasure of sex. This, as opposed to the aesthetic life of the I can't remember what we called him, the snake man, who's lying there like a serpent, an aesthetic, retired from it, has seen the bitter reality of it. I'm not going to sit and give statistics and all the rest of it. In material life, the statistics for disunity, divorce, as Prabhupada says, they come together. But, and in the verse, yan maitunadi grihamedi sukham hitu cham, the next line is the kanduyanena karayor. Karayor means hands. Karayor, like karate. Karayor. Karate means it's with the hand, isn't it? The empty hand. It's from Sanskrit. So, the friction that kanduyanena karayor, that comes from this friction, then is evahi dukadukam. They come together for sukham, which is only mentioned once, dukadukam, but in consequence they get double-barreled misery. We get double-barreled misery in consequence. That's the verse. That's the verse. And so therefore, tripyanti, is that right? Tripyanti neha. There will not be, there's no satisfaction in it. It doesn't come or conclude in satisfaction. Tripyanti neha. And then? Kripana. Yeah, the miserly minded tripyanti neha will never get satisfaction from this. It's the friction, the itch, as it's, isn't it? The itch, as it's described in the verse. It's just endless. Now, if you're in Mayapur, you know, you first day you're there, you get a few bites in the taxi in your ankles as you're going. And then you get there and it's like they're all over you, the mosquitoes, isn't it? And then you're just sitting there unconsciously scratching away, isn't it? You have that experience sometimes. And then things start looking pretty bad. And then you get little bits of blood coming here and there. And it's just endless. And so therefore, when there is some problem with the skin as such, generally say, don't scratch it. Don't touch it. With children, they just, if they have some scab or something, or some skin that's recovering. When your skin's recovering, can you stop yourself from continuously interfering with the recovery? It's very difficult. So like that, the itch, we say, don't scratch, whatever you do, don't scratch it, just leave it. Because it will end up in a worse scenario worse than the itch. Isn't they say the cure is worse than the disease? That's, people say that, isn't it? The cure is worse than the disease. So the cure of engaging with it, to fulfill it, is worse than the very problem itself. And because it's insatiable, isn't it? It's insatiable. The itch, the desire in this case is insatiable. Then it's endless. It doesn't go away with just scratching it. Arthur Schopenhauer, who wrote the famous book, was it Will and Representation? The World, Will and Representation, I think it was called. I mean, way back in Germany then, they were already come to this conclusion very clearly. The will to live, they called it. It's the endless will and desire of the living entities. It's endless. It is never satiated. As soon as you feed it or even attain what you want, in a short time you become bored and then you aspire for more. So this verse, yan maitunadi grihamedi sukham hitucham, is simply explaining that they come together, we come together for happiness, to relieve our desires for unity, love, but quite the opposite comes, dukkha dukkham, comes in consequence. And therefore the sober person, vishaheta dhira, as it explains in the last line of that verse, they just tolerate the itch, just leave it. Yes, I know it's a problem, but just leave it. Vishaheta dhira. There's another verse which concludes vishaheta dhira. Vacha vegam, manasakroda vegam, jiva vegam, udarapasta vegam, itan vegam, yo, vishaheta dhira. Same, Rupa Goswami is taking those very terms from the Bhagavad, from that verse. Vishaheta dhira, sarvam apimam pradivim sasisyat. Very first step. It said this verse is for Grihastha Vaishnavas. For Grihastha Vaishnavas. Vacha vegam, the desire of the to speak all the time, isn't it? Vacha, to always give our purpose and everything. The desire to speak. When you're young, you go into the meetings, you talk all the time. As you get older, you start to say less and less and less, and then you drop off the end. Or you sit there and everyone's waiting. It's going to take a death for us to move on in this movement. So, Bhatu Begum, the English, to speak, Manasa Krodha, our minds are always agitated for things. Krodha Begum, become angry, agitated, upset. Then, Jiva Begum, the continued aspiration to eat things all the time. Nice things. The more you renounce eating nice things, the more you want to eat them. Ekadashi becomes your greatest nightmare. Because it inspires you more for food. It can if you're not careful. Fasting, you know, can become a dangerous thing. You can develop health food disorders from fasting. Because when one fasts, then neurosis can come from that. If you don't get the balance right. I know from experience, I took a long fast to get residence in Vrindavan. No more sweets. Every program I go to, I'd say, no sweets. I don't take sweets. Wait, chutney, is that a sweet? Is that a savory? I'll take some of that on my sandwich. No. I was serious. That's sweet. No. So this went on for a year. And finally I got there. January 1991, and I sat down in my room and I thought, I'll celebrate it with a sweet. And then I had another one. And then I had in my drawer a box of sweets to give as rewards to students. And so I kept rewarding myself for the fast. And in all seriousness, it became a problem. Because I was just eating, you know, between meals, after meals, when I woke up. I just was eating a lot of sweets, and I knew it was getting the better of me. You know, we say that, ahara. Ahara, or anna, se anna mrita pao. And anna means grain, food grain in Bengal. Also, it means, in reference in a general sense to food, that which you devour, or that which devours you. So am I eating my food, or is my food eating me? Can become the question. We become obese. Obesity. It's a big problem. Consumerism's marketing us terrible foods continuously, and our parental society is trying to tell us, you don't eat so much. It's a kind of confusing societal dilemma where consumerism's continuously selling us indulgence, and we're obese in consequence of it. And now there's a little conscience of society saying, wait a minute. People are just very, very unhealthy. They shouldn't eat so much. Obesity. Anyway, I recovered from that situation. I prayed to a deity of Bhaktisiddhanta, which was in the college across from the Krishna Balaram Mandir. I said, I'm eating too many sweets. That's it. I got to give these things up for life. Now, that was a tragic mistake on my part. That one lasted about a week or so. And then it dawned on me, why don't you just have a little sweet after your meal and finished? Why don't you just have a little sweet? Don't kill it. Don't allow it to devour you. Just have a sweet when you finish your prasad. And I can gladly say that to this day I'm just about managing that. So the abstinence from sensual pleasures in itself can constitute the very problem we're trying to become free from. Now, it's interesting in this purport. Prabhupada does not conclude this purport or push the point in this purport that we should lie like snakes and just take whatever falls in our mouth. He doesn't conclude this purport in asceticism. He concludes this purport in not the grihamedi sukham, but the grihastha life. I mean, he speaks about the, he even says here, you know, obviously if the people come together with sensuality as the basis of their life, then yes, disunity, divorce, Prabhupada says that, completely. Still, even in married Krishna conscious life, still it's, many people suffer, their partners are irresponsible, whatever happens, it becomes very problematic. When this sensual aspiration takes the forefront of their interest, their selfishness, becomes very, very difficult. But Prabhupada says, and when he's speaking about this verse, what we have in common with the animals, isn't it? That, ahara nidra bhayam maitanam cha samannam etad pashubi samana pashubi naranam. The human and the animal, samana, they have in common this ahara nidra bhayam maitanam cha. The eating, the sleeping, maitanam, and fear, bhayam. These are, but dharmohitesham, what separates or should separate human existence from animal existence, dharmohitesham, is dharma. Dharma simply means a life of higher principles, a life of moderation, a life toward liberation and devotion. Dharmohitesham adhiko vishesh. This is the definitive characteristic of human society as opposed to animal society. It's organized based upon ethical, moral principles, which should support us in these things and not destroy us. So, dharmohitesham adhiko vishesh. In the absence, dharmohitesham. Dharmena hina pashubi sama. And in the absence of the dharma, dharmena hina pashubi samana. The human is no more than just, human society is no more than animal society. Human life is no more than animal life. Prabhupada says these things, because these are an intrinsic part of us. It's not that you can read this verse and just say, okay, great, let me retire, and it's over. And we can shave our heads, put dhotis and kurtas on, kanti mala, and get our japa mala and go to the whole morning program. Things don't change overnight. We still wake up the animal the next day. And we go through the same, and it goes on. It goes on. But through sanskara and all these things, refinement, the savage is contained. The savage is contained. To just read things like this and think, I'm going to live the ideal. rather than I'm going to aspire for the ideal in my life is disastrous. The Gita states, sadrisham chistate svasya gyanino prakritam yati. That sadrisham chistate svasya prakritam gyanavanapi prakritam yanti bhutani nigraha kim karishasi. Nigraha means restraint. In this case, in this verse, it means overly restrained. Where the restraint is severe beyond a person's capacity and capability and starts to take the form of neurosis, that is not recommended. Nigraha kim karishasi. What is the value in restraint? Krishna is saying in the Gita. What is the value in restraint? Because any person is driven by their nature, these things, eat, sleep, mate, defend, and all the rest of it. We're driven by material prakritam. Even jnanino, even the learned person cannot rise beyond these things. The drive is there. And therefore, nigraha kim karishasi. What will restraint do in this matter? Isn't it? And then Krishna gives the example also in the third chapter. Karmendriyani samyamya yaaste manasasmaran. Indriyatim vimudatma mityachar uchate. That. Okay, restrain it. Okay, I'm finished with all this stuff from today. I'm just going to sit down here and chant. Forget all this. Other stuff. Grihamedi sukham. Never mind that. Forget the grihastha sukham. Forget everything. Retirement. Yes, it's ideal. It's noble. It's our highest aspiration. But in consequence, the senses will be stopped, but the mind will be running like a river. Kamendriyani samyamya yaasti manasas smaran. It won't be Krishna smaran. It will be thinking of all those desires that are just being pushed and pushed and pushed back within myself. Pushed back in such a way that they're becoming now. I'm preoccupied thinking about these. I'm trying to practice Krishna consciousness. But I'm preoccupied with thoughts of the things I'm trying to give up. Because it's just feeling severe. Severity. So therefore, yaaste manasasmaran. Krishna does not instruct us towards that at all. He calls this mithyacha. Mithyacha. Mithya means false. It's a false conduct. The river Falgu is a dry river. It looks like there's no water. But the Falgu River is very famous because all the water is running under the riverbed. So in that way, this severe renunciation, abnegation, is not recommended. Sannyasas tu mahabahu dukkam aptam ayogata. Krishna says in the Gita again, sannyas is dukkam. Dukkam aptam ayogata. Far better be busy in life. Now, of course, he is speaking of asceticism. Sannyasas tu mahabahu dukkam aptam ayogata. Yoga yukta. Better engaged in all the things of life in the service of Krishna. It's a happier way. It's an easier way. It's a recommended way. That's Krishna's instruction in the Gita. We can't contradict that. We can't go against that. That's for sure. It's described as dukkham because if one takes sannyas, or a lady, I know ladies and friends. I remember a young lady friend of mine, we served together. One day she came with a shaved head and a white sari. And I thought, oh my God. And I was a brahmachari. I thought, it's too severe. You're so young. It's too severe. And then so many others take sannyas with no life experience whatsoever. This is a great, this is the ideal, to be like the snake or to be an ascetic. Yes, it's all misery. Leave it. But Baladev and Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur make points in this commentary that it becomes so miserable because with an impure heart, the desire is not gone. The desire is there and there's no facility whatsoever to purify it because you've left all the things. So therefore, when such a person turns to even the activity to purify that desire, the society just go, Vantasi. He's eating his vomit. He's puked it all up. He called us all materialists. And now he's eating our remnants. He's eating what he puked up. Vantasi. Therefore, it's a very sobering matter. Sannyasis dukkham aptam. If the heart is impure, it's dukkham. And there's no means to purify the desire because of the life one has embraced. And if one attempts to fulfill, to purify those desires, then the poor person is socially ruined. Disgrace the community. We don't know whether to embrace them or, wait, things like that shouldn't happen. How did it happen? It's a social disgrace, and how much hurt and failure, my God, the individual feels. That's even worse. So therefore, the life of moderation in Krishna consciousness and with experience and observation, this gentleman has resigned or retired from life. With experience and with observation, it's for one with purity of heart. It's not a means to purity of heart. It's a lifestyle of someone with purity of heart. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that renunciation, true renunciation, is consequence of bhava bhakti, the manifestation of bhava bhakti in a person's heart. Their disinterested material life is real renunciation. Prior to that, it's all the practice of renunciation. So therefore, it's very sobering, and I think that the pastime of Sri Chaitanya Dev and Chota Haridas is very, very sobering on this point. Because if you think, like the sons of Bhavananda Rai, Ramananda Rai's brothers, who was it? Gopinath Patanaik. He was on to be killed by the governor because of stealing some taxes. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, it's not good Gopinath is taking tax from the king and he's going to see dancing girls with the money. But he embraced Gopinath. He saved him from the sword. Gopinath was a grihastha. He saved him from all those things. He was going to see dancing girls. Chaitanya embraced him and said, you're the five Pandavas. But when Chota Haridas, who was an ascetic, a mendicant, spoke out of turn to Madhavi Devi, just spoke, he rejected him. It was so severe, Chota Haridas committed suicide. Chaitanya Dev was relentless on the point. He never gave an inch. Prabhu kohe, bairagi kore. Mahaprabhu was saying, bairagi kore, prakrita sambhasana. That for a vairagi, a renunciate, prakrita sambhasana, to speak in a materialistic way with the opposite sex. He said, dekate na paron. I don't want to see the face of that person. He was so strong that all the devotees stopped even thinking about these things in their dreams. Relentless on this point. Because sannyas means it is over. No more flirtation, no more engagement, no more chit-chat. It's finished. You're a dead person materially. You live your, you're gone in your spiritual life. There's no talking long periods of time with people of the opposite sin. None of these things. There's no room for liberality in sannyas. Sannyas is the end of material life. So therefore, I think it's very important for us when we hear the ideals. This is the behavior of a perfect person. This is not the behavior of a person who's approaching perfection. This asceticism, this complete renunciation, Prabhupada doesn't push that as the solution in this purport. He pushes the life of dharma. Dharmo viruddho bhuteshu kamasmi bharatashrava. Sexuality, when engaged in within the context and confines of dharma, is Krishna himself. Sometimes in India they joke, ek patni dari saddha brahmachari. If a man remains with one wife, he's a lifelong brahmachari. That in itself is a very high ethic for a Kali Yuga society. Never mind all the rest. So, I think that here, and to conclude, the Vairagi is speaking from his experience and observation and has resigned entirely from material engagement. That's our ideal. We must come to that point. Bhukti, mukti, spriha, yavat. In bhakti also, these things are witches in our hearts. We want to love Krishna. We have to be free of these things. However, from within the context of regulation, moderation, one can overcome things which are greater than us. And with experience and observation, we will leave it all. We will leave it all. Look at Bilva Mangal Thakur. Isn't it? So much he aspired. Even though he renounced the desire for it, then again he was chasing after it. He blinded himself with the hairpins of the woman he wanted to enjoy. But he just kept on going, praying to Krishna. And Krishna came to his assistance. So we can take hope from that. But we have to be very mature about this game of sannyas, because otherwise it's unmanageable in an individual's life, and it becomes unmanageable socially. Nobody gains anything from it. I think Prabhupada called it premature renunciation. Sorry, went on a bit there. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.